Good evening, a very good evening to you all. It's lovely on a dark, cold evening to come together to share around God's word and particularly to share the bread and wine of communion together. So whether you are a regular here or whether you're a visitor, you are very welcome to the Lord's table. It's God's table, not ours, and everyone who loves him is welcome to join us this evening. In our studies on giving birth to Christ, we are going to be looking this evening at the Holy Spirit, who is the active agent in God's plan, bringing faith alive for us. And so we begin our worship with the first hymn, Spirit of Truth and Grace, come to us in this place. Let's stand and sing together. Let's quieten ourselves as we come to God to pray together. God, at the dawn of time, out of blanket blackness, you brought life. Creative God, you brought energy and light from nothing. In the spinning earth, you were there in the cycles and the seasons, giving nothingness a purpose and a plan. Creative God, we praise you for your power. And yet you are also the redeeming God. You didn't stay at arm's length from your creation. You committed yourself to individuals, calling them to step out in faith. You chose a nation to be your people and formed them out of slavery, showing them what you are like. And then beyond all expectation, you came in the person of Jesus to show us fully who you are, to be God made flesh. God, we praise you for your redeeming love in him. And yet you are still with us now. None of this is all in the past. Sustaining God, you continue your creative work here and now today. You continue to redeem us through Christ. You continue to build a people in your church whom you want to catch up in your timeless purpose and draw us along with the energy of what your Spirit wants to do today. Creative, redeeming, sustaining God, we worship you tonight. We come with hearts full and with hands empty, knowing that all that we can give you is our praise, and asking that tonight each of us would receive from you the word, the sense that you long to give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we approach the scriptures, we sing the prayer for understanding. And I'm remembering from last week that we do that seated. Fergus isn't able to be here tonight. He's feeling a bit unwell. And we'll be holding him in our prayers later. But we're going to sing seated, Spirit of the Living God. We're singing two verses to this. And I sometimes feel, I've sung this prayer many times over the years, and sometimes I feel that you have to be a bit bold and daring to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fall and dwell upon me and upon you. But that's what we ask him to do tonight. Let's sing together. We come to read together in God's word. We have three Bible readings tonight, all about this theme of the Holy Spirit and how he brings things to life. Two of them are very short, and the middle one a little bit longer. So we read first of all in the book of Genesis, very well-known words from Genesis chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Another word for that hovering is brooding. The Spirit of God was hovering or brooding over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Our second reading is again the very well-known passage from Luke's Gospel. And I'll let you pick up the connection with the hovering or brooding spirit. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Finally, we read together, again, very well-known words in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 2, when that same Holy Spirit comes again. Reading from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Amen. And God will bless the readings from his word. Advent, as we know, is the season of waiting and expectation, the season when we wait for the coming of Christ. And I remember when I first heard that concept and having a thought, and I still sometimes have this thought now, why are we waiting for the coming of Christ when he's already been? And that's quite a simple question, but it's actually quite profound, because Advent before Christmas reminds us of two things. Jesus has already been. We come at Christmas to celebrate the historical event of his birth in Bethlehem, and we have done that ad nauseam. We've been doing it for 2,000 years. When I was the minister in Eaglesham, I remember one being told about a conversation between one child and our Sunday school superintendent. The child said, what are we doing this week? And they said, we're doing the story about the baby Jesus and the shepherds and the angels and being born in a stable at Bethlehem. We've done that. Well, we're doing it again. But because It's not waiting. We celebrate that historical event, but we are, in a sense, still waiting. What Jesus did when he came at Bethlehem was to inaugurate the kingdom of God. We talked about that last week. And that final kingdom is on its way, it's moving along, but it is not yet here. And so in Advent, in waiting, we recognize that there is an unfulfillment, that the coming of Christ has not yet reached its total fulfillment, and that Christ needs to be brought again to life here and now in Mulgai, in Glasgow, in 2019. There is something that is about Christ that is always waiting to be born, that is always asking us to be part of the bringing him to life that he calls us to do as his people. So as a people of God, we are called to wait, to hope, and to play our part in the coming of Christ in our time and in our generation, recognizing that it will be fulfilled in a time to come. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that that happens. How can we, ordinary people, bring Christ to our community, to our families, to our nation? We can't. We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are three pictures, I think, arising from the three readings that we had, that I think the Bible gives us of how we do that, how we, with the Holy Spirit, give birth to Christ in our time. Three pictures: a brooding bird, a pregnant woman, and a rushing wind. So first of all, back to the dawn of time in Genesis, the brooding bird. That image that those very sparse but beautiful words in the opening of the Bible give us, prehistory, before creation, and a nothingness that's unimaginable to us, darkness without form, void, nothing is there because nothing has been made. But the Holy Spirit is there, part of the Godhead, God Father, Son, and Spirit, the Father, the Word, the Spirit, all there. And the beautiful picture that Genesis gives us is of the Holy Spirit, God's active agent in creation, brooding like a bird, like a dove, over the darkness and the chaos and the nothingness. I've rarely seen a broody bird with her eggs underneath her, but that's the picture that we're given here. The Spirit patiently waiting and doing what is needed to nurture that nothingness, that darkness, that hopelessness into some kind of life. When we ask, when we pray for the Holy Spirit to come into the world today, that, I think, is what we're praying for. The work of the Spirit brings change, brings life where things seem to be hopeless or where there seems to be nothing, brings chaos and apparent hopelessness to order, brings light into darkness, brings into a void that's cold something of warmth, nurturing that emptiness into fullness and bringing what is dead to life. When we ask for the Holy Spirit to come to our world, to bring Christ again to us, this is what we get. This is what we're praying for. Sometimes I look at the world and it seems to be chaotic. Sometimes I look at people's lives, people's circumstances, and they've maybe asked me to walk with them, or they've asked me to pray, and I don't know what to pray. It just seems chaotic. The Holy Spirit brings order to that. Sometimes there's darkness of ignorance or fear or prejudice. The Holy Spirit gently brings life. Sometimes there's a void in people's lives or in our culture. I think there's a void of meaning just now when I look at people running around the shops mad, trying to do things that will make Christmas mean something, that will make Christmas happy. And in the end, it will be boxes of tinsel and unwrapped wrapping paper. And we desperately need something to fill that void. The Holy Spirit does that. And we're very conscious at this time of year there are people who are suffering with broken relationships and that's very apparent and particularly hurtful at Christmas. People who have the void of bereavement, people who are in a rut or hopeless, nothing seems to be happening. Can we welcome and pray the influence of the brooding Holy Spirit over those lives? I sometimes use this image from Genesis to pray, and I use it particularly when I'm praying for people or when I'm praying for situations that I don't really know what to pray for. And sometimes in my praying imagination, I will just bring the situation as I know it, or the person as I know him or her, and imagine, prayerfully imagine, ask the brooding Holy Spirit to be over that situation. Often, sometimes, there are no words. And I will be praying that kind of prayer this week, as our Parliament goes to extremely important discussions on Tuesday, as those discussions seem to have gone round and round in circles and be struggling to produce a result. I don't know what to pray about Brexit. I don't know what to pray about some people whose troubles are on my heart. I don't know the best thing to pray. So I can pray, and this sounds really bizarre, but I'm sharing it with you because it might be helpful. I can pray that image of the brooding spirit over Westminster, asking for order to come, asking for something that is life-giving, that is going to be for human flourishing, for the poorest, out of all that chaos of stuff that's going in there. We can pray the Holy Spirit in that way. So that's the cosmic spirit, the whole thing at the start of time. But the second symbol is very much different and very much more personal. The symbol of a pregnant woman. Because the spirit doesn't just bring things to life for nations and for the globe. The spirit comes to each of us personally and has a role in our individual lives. We see that in Mary. The impossible news that comes to her, the miraculous, that news that the Holy Spirit of God is going to come and germinate something in her, it couldn't be more personal. It couldn't be more intimate. Again, the active agent here is the Holy Spirit, who fertilizes that which is going to be of Christ in her body. How will that be? Mary asks. Crikey, she might well. The picture is of the Holy Spirit overshadowing you, brooding, creating from nothing. The same kind of picture, but on a much more human, much more intimate scale and deeply personal. He is forming in secret something of Christ, the person of Christ in her, in a unique way. Not just for her though, but so that he can be born into the world. I wonder how you feel, and I hinted something at this when we sung that what I think is a very difficult song earlier in the service, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Do we know what we're asking for when we pray that? Do we know what we're asking for? We're inviting the active agent of the cosmos to come in us. And we're praying, break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Mary had a strange reaction. It was two reactions. She was a bit apprehensive. She didn't understand. How can this be? And yet there was another part of her that, despite not knowing, despite the uncertainty, despite the personal cost, she wanted to welcome and accept what God was going to do in her. And again, I have a picture, and this isn't a picture I made up. This is a picture of a statue I found in a retreat centre that I use very often, by Rory Geoghegan, who's a Jesuit, and he's done this wonderful statue of the Annunciation. And it's a very sleek, I wish I had, if we had visuals I could show it to you, but anyway, we're not there yet. It's a very sleek, modern image of a woman. It doesn't have any frills or fancies about it. It's the posture of the body that's strange. She has her head turned to one side, and she's slightly shielding it as if she's a bit reluctant. But her other hand is reached out and up and open. And that posture of the body, I think, takes those two reactions Mary had. What on earth is going on here? How is this going to be? What's it going to mean for me? And you wouldn't be human if you didn't have some kind of a resistance to that. And yet, on the other hand, literally on the other hand, she is open and welcoming to whatever God wants to do in her. The Holy Spirit is the active agent of God who comes to us and says, I want to fall afresh on you. He's the one who tells us when we're wrong. He convicts us of sin, of guilt when we've done things wrong. He's the one who draws us to God in the first place. He's the one whom Jesus says will be with you and will be in you when you come to faith. He's the one who forms Christ in us. It's the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit comes to us and asks to come. It's never comfortable. We can never guarantee what's going to happen next. When I was a child, I was terrified of the Holy Spirit. I'm old enough to remember the days when the Holy Spirit was called the Holy Ghost. And that didn't get me in the best of moods to start with. And I was a kind of Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of child. So the Holy Spirit seemed this kind of quite odd thing, and I was also had some unfortunate encounters, encounters are not always unfortunate, with people who showed the gifts of the Spirit, the speaking in tongues, in ways that I was very uncomfortable with, and I didn't know what to make of that. And for a long time, I thought God was fine. He was kind of up there, but he was fine. Jesus, fabulous. I like Jesus. The Holy Spirit, I can keep the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if I want very much to do with that. When we invite the Holy Spirit in, he's going to change us. He might break us. He might challenge us in ways we don't expect. And there are ways, there are times that we shield ourselves. Don't go near my money. Don't go near that part of my life. You can push me, but not too far out of my comfort zone. The Holy Spirit comes to form Christ in us and to push us out. And that is the challenge for us. So the brooding bird at the start of time, the cosmic spirit, the pregnant woman at the time of Christ, the very personal, intimate spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. He comes again. He comes in Acts, and he still comes in our time in a different symbol, the symbol of the rushing wind. Not only again for them, but for the church and for the world, so that Christ can be known. And the background there is similar. This comes after 40 days. 40 days after Jesus has left, he's gone, he's been resurrected, and then mysteriously disappears. Over a month later, nothing has happened. I would be a bit on edge, frankly, wondering what's going to happen next, or if anything is going to happen next. These times of waiting and anxiety and not knowing are very, very difficult, and they stretch our faith. And over a month after Jesus goes, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. And it's not cosmic and for the globe. It's not intimate and personal. This is bold. This is public. This is right out there. A wind shapes them through, a fire descends on their heads, and that group of ordinary disciples, people that aren't particularly special, people who need a lot of rough ends knocking off, people who don't have a huge amount of faith even, those unconnected people are bound together. They become the church. And from that, they're ordered and they're given a focus, and they are pushed out because they have the life of Christ. And it's who is going out there and doing something about it. That is what the Spirit does. It's what the Holy Spirit does for churches. It's what the Holy Spirit can and should be doing in us today, because that wind of the Spirit still blows today. It takes the flame. I like the image of the wind better for this evening. But it takes that flame and gets out there and starts a fire. What does that say to us today as a church? I'm not sure where the wind of the Spirit is blowing today. I just know that the Spirit is still blowing. My favourite picture, again, with lots of pictures tonight. I don't always do pictures, so I've got lots of pictures tonight. My favourite picture of the Spirit, again, is of a yacht and a big sail. And the wind comes and catches the sail, and the sail moves along. There's nothing the yacht can do to make it happen, except for the yacht, the yachtsman with his skill, to set the sail in such a way that it catches the wind and then keeps the wind as it's blown along. I wonder if what we're asking the Holy Spirit to do in the church today is not so much saying to God, what should we do? It's saying, God, what are you already doing? What are you already doing in our church? What are you already doing in our world? Are we alert or are we missing it? And then catching that wind of the Spirit and making sure that we stay with the thing that God is asking us to do. Maybe it's a season of waiting. I suspect for the Church of Scotland just now, it's a season of waiting to see where the Spirit is going to move. But we need to be alert for the energy and the direction and the light and the life that will sweep us out to bring Christ to our world in a new and living way. So the work of the Holy Spirit, the brooding bird to create and recreate the world, the pregnant woman to create and recreate us as individuals, the rushing wind that we need to cut to sweep through our church so that we will have the energy and the passion that revitalizes our faith and thrusts us out to be the people that God wants us to be his witnesses, bringing Christ to the world. Let's take a moment to think in silence as we ponder that, and to let some of that settle. There are lots of words. Let's take a minute to let some of that settle before we move to the communion. Maybe of those three images, there is one that particularly speaks to you, and you might want to take time to ponder what it's saying. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for your Spirit of life that became visible in Jesus and that's been shared with us in this feast tonight. Thank you for that his life that was given for us lives on by your Spirit. Thank you that we can depend upon that Spirit to change us to become more like you, that we can look for where you're moving and working in the world and ask to be made part of your great purposes, that we might go out and show something of Christ to others. God, we pray this evening for those who most need our prayers. We pray for our country at a time of political turmoil, that your Spirit would brood over that. We pray for folks who are really struggling at Christmas because it's a time when broken relationships and losses come to the surface in a very painful way. And we ask that your Spirit would fill the void. And we pray for Fergus, who's unwell, and for others whom we may know and name in our minds now, who particularly need your touch this evening, that you might bring healing and strength and hope. Lord, as we go, would you fill us with the comfort and strength of your Spirit, and fill us with joy that we might be people who show you to others, joyfully obedient as you lead us, freely sharing with others what has been freely given to us this evening, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing the communion hymn, the post-communion hymn, "Now let us from this table rise." The night is still to turn to day, and the darkness to light. So wherever there is sorrow, fear, need or hurt, let's go in the name of Christ. And may his joy and peace, his healing and compassion dawn through us until morning is broken and the kingdom is here. And may the Father, Son and Holy Spirit rest and remain with us as we go, this night and forevermore.